clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to? Touchdown!
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks.
Here we go again on Simultaneous Catch. Yeah, that wasn't the same song.
Oh, what were you trying to do?
Like, here I go again on my own.
Yeah, and then there's a going down the only road.
Okay, see, like, it sounded like when you did it, though, you were doing like.
I'm Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
My name's Josh Lapping.
I don't really want to do the show today, guys, because I'm depressed, but it's fine. I'm going to power through anyway. And hey, listen, welcome into the show where one host is now hosting their last episode of their 20s.
That's true.
Josh, before our next episode, we'll be 30 years old.
What
are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a thing.
30, I mean, like, 30 is a huge milestone, pal. Like, how are you feeling?
I really just, like, I hear you, I understand that, but it just doesn't feel that way.
I mean, I will say, I do feel that way.
Like, in a positive, like...
No, definitely in a negative way.
Oh.
I feel like I'm a failure of a 30-year-old.
Why?
Because I live alone with a cat, I don't even own a couch, that's pretty much it.
Well, I feel like you're putting
too many
expectations on yourself.
No romantic prospects anywhere close to the horizon.
Hurt.
What'd you say?
I said I'm hurt.
Well, I'm hurt. I didn't say that you living near me was a negative. That's totally a positive.
I'm talking about the lover comment that you just made.
Oh, God.
Hurt. Whatever.
Anyway, there is a fantasy football league that thinks that we are ex-lovers because we broke up, according to them. welcome into the show, folks. We got a lot to talk about. Our bye week last week.
Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, it was we had a nice one at the theater. It was pretty fun. I became the daycare again, but that's okay. The kids kept coming over to me and being like, no, you're coming over here. And
so you're allowed to say no.
So here's the thing is you say no like two or three times and then they just keep asking. And if you
but
ask,
you never said no.
If you ask me, yeah, I kept trying to deflect it to somebody else and say, go get them. And they were like, no. So but eventually I deflected them and it was fine. I don't really care. What was I going to be doing?
Felt like you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, a lot happened, obviously, in both week 11 and week 12 of the NFL. Neither of us got our friends' fortunes. We were just checking on that. Mine was that Josh Allen would have zero turnovers against the Jets, and he really did.
But
because
he
his
didn't.
Only one was an interception right before the half that he just chucked up, which is stupid that had to be intercepted.
We were listening to that live. It was pretty fun.
But now it's two straight weeks of Josh Allen crushing it, but his team letting him down. Let's get right into it, man. Let's get into rant, rave, recall. What you got?
I'm going to rave about NFL Red Zone Scott Hansen.
Hey, I was wondering because I know you're not a Red Zone.
No, I'm not. I'm not a Red Zone person. But I mean, I didn't even see any of this because we were on the road last week or during the games, right? So I only saw about it afterwards. But the fire alarm was going off in their studio, and he just stood there, kept talking about the games. There's a lot of jokes right now. My favorite of them is the band as Titanic's going down. He was determined not to leave his post and let us know what was happening inside the 20-yard lines of NFL games.
I'm picturing some NFL memes like putting Scott Hansen on the boat next to the band in a photo of the Titanic.
It's just pretty great. That's, I mean, I looked at the clip and like it is hilariously distracting that this alarm is going off and he's just standing there talking about football. Wow.
So I've heard about this, but I didn't look. I haven't watched the clip. I should bring it up.
Yeah, it's not like something where like there's just like, you know, like internally, like there was like an alarm blaring.
And he just keep going.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to go over to this game right now. And there's a lot of good football going
on. Does he acknowledge it at all?
Yeah, he was like, you know what? We're experiencing something that I don't know if a lot of media professionals have in their career, but we're just going to truck along.
You know what? That's so funny that happened to him. And then at the show we were at on Sunday,
that did kind of
fire alarm.
We had like a mini experience
as
like
the
that.
Show was about to start. We had to escort actors off the stage.
Yeah. Wow. Weird day. Okay. Weird Sunday.
All right.
But yeah, I think he absolutely deserves a Ray for, you know, I never know. It actually makes me a little nervous that we never know, like, when the real emergency is. Like,
right,
what,
yeah.
What if the building really had been on fire?
We're so desensitized to it. I mean, I don't – well, so for where we were for the show, I talked to the stage management, and they said that they pulled them off stage and that they were getting ready to evacuate everybody, but that management stepped in and was like, it's fine. It's an issue with the system. We just checked. So I don't know.
I'm assuming there are always people that do that job, right? But yeah, like I said, I just feel like in that situation you'd have been like, all right, I'm gonna go. But just he stood there and played autumn.
Good for him, man. I will say, sank. I agree with you that I do enjoy watching full games because you get full context. But I do miss watching Red Zone. I used to watch Red Zone every week almost, unless the Bills game was on. And then when the Bills game, as soon as the Bills game wasn't on, I was watching Red Zone. So, but good for Scott Hansen. I like Scott Hansen. All right. I have a recall.
Oh, man.
And this is a huge recall. And I don't mean like in terms of quality. I mean in terms of quantity. Because I did my season playoff predictor generator about 25 to 30 times since the Sunday slate of games.
Oh, okay.
So this is my mega recall. I'm going to give you what I think the NFL playoffs will end up being from this point.
So you're recalling what we said 3 months ago? Is that what the recall is?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, people can go back and see what it was. I'm using this as an excuse to talk about this, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
So, all right. You want me to do AFC or NFC first?
Let's go with the NFC.
NFC, number one seed. Can you guess?
I mean, I think the easy answer is Philadelphia, but I think the answer is San Francisco.
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, man.
I have the
Detroit. I am high on them, but I don't know if they think they get the one seed.
I have the Detroit Lions in a three-way tie with Philadelphia, who still wins the division, and San Francisco. I have them in a three-way tie, and then by virtue of head-to-head versus conference record, the Detroit Lions get the number one seed.
Okay.
Which leaves Philly at the two seed. I'm really sorry, Dallas fans. This is an actual recall because I had picked the Dallas Cowboys to win the division. But I need Dallas to lose to Buffalo. So so that puts Philly at the two seed, San Fran at the three seed. And at the four seed, I said the Falcons would win the division. I have them win the division by half a game.
Okay.
Oh, I missed one. What if I do that? Okay, yeah, that's fine. I have them at 9-8 winning the division, right? So that makes sense, you know? And then the fifth seed would be Dallas, who misses out on their division by a game.
Yep.
The sixth seed at 10-7, the Seattle Seahawks. Okay?
Okay.
And then the seventh seed sneaking into the playoffs is the Josh Dobbs-led Minnesota Vikings. Now, I will say this. The way that I did this, I swear to God I did this over 20 times. It's not an exaggeration. I have the Packers at 9-8 and the Rams at 9-8 and the Saints at 9-8. So there's a four-way tie for that last playoff spot, and Minnesota gets it by virtue of tiebreakers. So,
all right, I have to ask you. Yeah. So in this scenario, you have had the Lions winning out.
Yeah, they have three losses right now.
Yeah.
Yes, I do have the Lions winning out. Their
I
toughest,
just don't know if I see that happening.
So their toughest games remaining are they have two against Minnesota still, right? Which is why Minnesota, huge that they lost on that on Monday night against Chicago, because had they won, then they're seven wins and they still have two matchups with Detroit.
Did this experiment include the loss against Chicago?
Yes, it includes that loss. So I think that the Broncos game is a tough matchup, but they have that at home. And then they have to go to Minnesota and to Dallas. Those are two tough games. But, you know, I mean, let's see if I click Dallas. Yeah, so if I give Dallas that game, then that puts Philly at one, San Fran at two, and the Lions at three. So...
okay.
That changes seedings a little bit, but that I'm not really worried.
Sure,
about
sure. Yeah, I just I don't think I see Detroit winning out.
So we get let's just give them that
I
loss.
I like it though.
We'll give them that loss to Dallas. I mean, I don't mind that, but yes, okay. So, AFC.
Here we go.
Number 1 seed, once I recalled that it wasn't going to be Buffalo, it's still the Baltimore Ravens for me. I think the Ravens have 3 losses right now.
Yep.
I think that they lose one more game to finish out the season, and they finish at 13-4 is what I have them right now.
Okay.
Then I got 2 seed is KC, 3 seed is Jacksonville, and here I go. I told you were going to laugh. 4 seed is Buffalo. No, I'm kidding. 4 seed is actually Miami. But so here's the thing that this is what I really let me. I'll finish this in what I really wanted to talk about. So 4 seed would be Miami. 5 seed would be the Browns still, and the wild card, and then Pittsburgh makes it, and then Buffalo would make it as the 7. If Buffalo doesn't actually make it, it'll be the Texans. But
okay.
So here's what I'm talking about. If I were just to ask you right now, Dolphins going to Baltimore, who do you think wins that game if you had to pick it right now?
Baltimore.
Okay. The Dolphins hosting Dallas, who do you think wins that game right now?
I think Miami has a chance.
I'm not saying they don't, but like if you had to pick it, would you say Miami?
Because it's in Miami, I'll pick Miami.
Okay. So they would have to lose those two games. If Miami loses those two games, then it comes down to Miami versus Buffalo. Well, I mean, we also have to win out. But if Miami were to lose those two games, and Buffalo were to win out, then we would win the division. So it's not insane. It's definitely a scenario that you don't want to be in, where it's like if this team loses this, right?
Yeah, it's not impossible.
It's never the scenario when it would. But and I'm not like I mean I'm rooting for that, but at the same time, like there's still a plenty of scenarios for like the 7th seed in the AFC.
Yeah,
which sure. is still tough though, because even in this, I've got teams like the Broncos who finish with 9 wins, don't get in. The Chargers finish with 8 or 9 wins, don't get in. The Texans at 10-7, right? Don't get in that.
How
scenario.
Do you have the Chargers winning 4 more games?
So if the Chargers would, they just lost to Baltimore. Next week they would beat the Patriots. The following week they would beat the Broncos. The following week, they would beat the Raiders. They lose to Buffalo. They beat the Broncos again. And then week 18, I gave them a win because at that point, KC's seeding will already be decided.
Gotcha.
So it wouldn't matter. anyway.
So basically, everyone loses except to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Or wins except to Buffalo.
Well, I will say this. If I go into Buffalo's schedule and I don't be a weirdo about it, I would, out of all the games remaining, let's say KC beats us, that knocks us out, right? Okay. Let's say Dallas beats us, that knocks us out. Let's say Chargers beat us, that knocks us out. Like any, we lose any of these games, it knocks us out of the playoffs. So.
I think Buffalo goes 3-2 in those games.
So we lose the next two.
I don't necessarily know which ones.
Okay. Well, if we do that, it's over.
Yeah,
9 wins doesn't get you in the playoffs in the AFC. 10 probably doesn't either. So what is
it's exciting time though?
Oh, my chair! Chair is broken. So.
What a fun exercise!
Oh, it's not fun. I mean, like I'm super sad about it because I'm not gonna make the playoffs. But hey, maybe this is a lesson in humility, right? I got super excited for 4 straight years. I will also say this: I got mad at myself for planning to say this on the show because I was like, maybe this is a lesson in humility, right? Like I got too comfortable that we were so good for 4 years. I mean, I need to be okay that every now and then we don't make it. But I got so mad at myself for that because I was like, why can't I just enjoy a team being good. Most of these most of people's teams make the playoffs every year for like 10 straight years. Why am I like, I'm okay with four and never winning a Super Bowl? No. I want to win the Super Bowl one year.
Of course you do. So. But it is there's the other side of the coin that it is okay. You can be excited when your team's good, but right. It's okay when they're not.
So, I mean, well, the frustrating thing is that we are really good. It's just that we've lost so many of these close games because we're not great. Regardless, in this scenario, yeah, it's fine. Anyway, let's move on to the next thing, huh? Let's get into some news and notes.
Yeah, the really big one right now is
Frank Reich.
That came out yesterday. That news broke. So
I haven't got a chance to hear your thoughts on it.
I'm not surprised by it. I feel like there were. I should say I'm not surprised by it. I don't necessarily know if I think it's quote unquote fair, but it makes sense, right? So much went into this process, right? He was let go of Indy, which I thought was deserved. I know that you weren't in that same boat as me. I think he jumped at the first opportunity because I feel like he was a relatively quick hire in the hiring process. And then they made all the moves to move up to the number one overall pick, which they gave up a lot for a quarterback that still absolutely has promise. We're not saying, oh, well, that's a bust, that's over with, but has not shown what you needed to show for that much draft capital to be traded for you, because right now the organization is in some murky water, really. So I understand when you and it's not just about wins and losses. We know that they're the worst team in terms of win and losses right now, so you've given Chicago the number one overall pick when you have done that. But I just haven't really seen that much growth, and I think that's what they need to see right now. We talked about it a couple weeks ago in relation to Josh McDaniels. We talked about it last year in terms of Dan Campbell. You can be a faltering, sputtering team, but you need to see some kind of promise. And we weren't seeing that in Carolina, in my opinion. Yeah. I know you've been following them closer than I have, but when I've watched them, I haven't been like, this isn't expired.
It's just, I feel really, really bad saying this, but I'm glad that a white coach is getting fired. I'm serious. Like, we've seen so many POC head coaches get fired after 1 year when it's like, hey, 1 year's not enough. I'm sorry. Like, you just got to give people more than that, especially with a bad team like Carolina. But I'm glad to see that, like, this is further evidence that it's like, it's not about that. It's like, teams are just too trigger happy to be like, you know what? We're not getting anything. Let's just move on. And like, we say this every year when there's a job that's like, ooh, that's not a very good, somebody's going to take
it. Oh, of course.
Right. Somebody's going to take
it. There are 32 of these jobs in the world. Somebody's going
to
take it.
Somebody's going to be very excited to take this job and convince themselves that they can turn this team around.
Internet rumblings are Greg Olson wants it.
That's weird.
But fun.
But legitimately, this is a tough spot to go to. I have not given up on Bryce Young. I still believe in Bryce Young. It doesn't look good right now with how great CJ Stroud has been and how tough the resume so far in his first season Bryce Young's is, right?
Sure.
But I haven't given up on Bryce Young yet. But O-line's terrible. Draft capital is very low because they gave up a lot to go get him. And they don't have a ton of weapons on offense, right? Like, we talked early on about there were some young guys we're excited about. Nobody's really jumped up. Adam Thielen having a great year, but that's really it, you know? it's a tough job to take. But, I mean, what's so fascinating to me is that this team almost made the playoffs last year with Steve Wilks as the interim head coach. They finished the year like 4-2 or 5-1 or something. They finished the year very strong, and they were up in the first half against Tampa Bay in a game. If they had won, they would have been hosting a playoff game last year. So
yeah.
I don't know what happened between then and now, but there was semblance of a tough team on this roster at the end of the year last year. I don't know what happened. So if they get a good guy in there, I do actually think Carolina can turn around really quick. I don't like how we get all doom and gloom sometimes with teams where it's like this happened with Chicago. After the first month of the season, everybody was like, so before the season, many people, most of them Chicago fans, but also some media people were like, Chicago's going to be a tough out this year. They added these weapons on offense, DJ Moore. Their defense was very good last year. Like, this is a team that could challenge teams. In the first month, they were bad. And everybody's like, oh, this is a terrible team. They're going to have the number one overall pick and blah, blah, blah. They're going to have the first two picks, right? And in the last month, their defense has been really, really good. And while Fields is only a couple weeks back, there's a couple of nice Fields performances, and they've won a couple of games, right? And now they're like, this is a frisky Chicago team. It's like, we flip-flop way too much in this sport. And I think that it is so, I don't want to say easy, but it happens all the time where teams turn around very quick. You've got a number one overall pick at quarterback. You've got some really good talent on the defense. You get the right person in there, things can turn around.
Things can absolutely turn around.
It's not a very exciting job, but somebody, the right person, can come in there and turn it around quick.
Yeah, I don't know if I think quick. I agree with quick. I mean, probably turn around in terms of being more than a one-win team.
Right, but their division is not very great.
No, I agree with you there.
And they almost won it last year. So, like, if you get a really good coach in there who brings that sort of tough, hard-nosed culture, they lean into their great young defense, they get a couple of weapons for Bryce Young, spend some money. Like, it can turn around. I'm not saying they're going to, like, you know, go on a playoff run anytime soon, but they can go 9-8 next year, 10-7, and win the division. I believe that kind of turnaround can happen for this team.
Okay. I think
I'm not betting any money on it.
I think that's a couple years away. So I have two questions about this, and then we'll move on. One, was this firing fair? I know you didn't think so last year, but was this firing fair? Number two, was this firing this is my opinion. So I'll force feed it to you and then just have you give me your reaction. I think this is solely due to what Houston is doing right now. I think, you know, we always have, especially when they're quarterbacks, when quarterbacks go back to back, you're always being compared, right? I think these organizations are being compared right now. And because of the success that Houston is having with D'Amico Ryans, that was taken into consideration with Carolina, because we all thought, including us, I mean, maybe not everyone in the country, but we thought on this show, we're like, okay, yeah, like, we get this. This should be a better situation for where Bryce Young is going versus CJ Stroud. We thought Houston would not be in the position they are right now. I think because of that success, David Tepper's is like, you know what, we got to make a move.
I will say one. No, it's not fair. There's only one scenario in which a head coach should be fired after 1 year for me, and it's the Urban Meyer of it. If it's like that,
but you got to kick your player.
Yeah, and you're like, and it's like a toxic atmosphere, and you're clearly like a not so great human, and it's just bad and toxic. Yeah, then you should be fired. Outside of that, I don't think a coach should ever be fired after one season. I think that everybody deserves 1 to 2 years of trying it their way to figure it out, right? I know that people don't want that because there's a lot of money involved here and it's a reactionary business, but no. So I don't think it's fair.
Okay.
Two, I think that, in my opinion, you're close to what it is, but I think you're looking at it from the wrong direction.
Okay.
I don't think it's because Houston and D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud are great. I think it's because we're not seeing any promise from Bryce Young and Frank
Reich. Oh, sure. Right?
I think that if Bryce Young and Frank Reich were showing a little bit more excitement in that duo, then he wouldn't be fired right now. Like, I don't think it's because they're looking at it and being like, well, look at D'Amico and CJ. Maybe we should have done that. Get out of here, Frank Reich. Let's do something else. They're saying, because it's the, you just said this, Tua and Herbert went 5-6 in the draft, and they're forever tied. And the reason why Charger fans aren't like, oh, we should have grabbed Tua and Mike McDaniel, is because Herbert looks awesome, right? And so if Bryce Young were still looking really good, I think that they wouldn't have done anything because they're excited about the future. But because it looks so bad, they're moving on.
I think we're both a little bit correct, because if Houston was equally as bad, I don't think this would have happened.
Interesting. I don't know. Okay, that's an interesting position. I don't know if I 100% agree with it, but I've not heard people say that.
I think if Houston was in a similar situation, they wouldn't have made this move right now.
So if they're both bad, you think that they say, look, we both have young quarterbacks, first-year head coaches, this is what happens.
I think
they're seeing how fast somebody can turn it around with the right people.
I think, and not that I don't understand the firing, I do, in theory. Yeah. Not that I agree with it or disagree with it. I think this is a hot take.
Yeah.
I think it's a hot reaction because of what we are seeing with the team that was tied to them when we're like, these teams aren't going to be very good. And they're like, well, one is battling for the playoffs right now. If Houston was 2-11, I don't even know what the records are right now. I don't think this happens.
I think Carolina only has one win.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But if Houston had two, I don't think this firing happens.
All right. I don't know. I mean, we'll never know. But that's a good – I like that take. So we'll see. I like Bryce Young. I really want to see him with the right guy at this point, and I really doubt that he'll take it because he could take any job he wants this offseason. I would love Ben Johnson to go to Carolina and work with Bryce Young. I would love that. Again, he could take any opening that he wants. We already have two available, and there's going to be a couple more for sure. Washington will probably be available. I'm trying to think of other teams.
Panthers do. We were talking about draft capital. They don't have that necessarily. Yeah. They have a ton of cap space.
Yeah, they can go. So that's what I'm saying.
Free agency will be very important.
They have really good young talent on defense.
Yeah.
If they go out and they spend, now again, premier offensive linemen don't normally hit the market because they're hard to find, right? But if they can get one or two premier offensive linemen, and then maybe you spend up for one weapon, right? One wide receiver. Yeah. And then in the draft, like, they still have picks, right?
Yeah.
And then you really attack those with your later picks. It's not all doom and gloom.
No, it's right? not. It's not, it's like the cupboard's bare. I expect them to be pretty heavy hitters with free agency because they don't, because of their lack of draft capital. So it's not like if you're a Carolina fan, you're like, well, we're screwed for the next 4 years.
Right. And they're not going to, so the new person's not going to come in and do a full teardown because they don't have their first round pick the next year or two. Right. So they're going to have to try to compete. So, all right, let's move on. Let's get to week 12 in review / playoff picture. I'll just give you the playoff picture right now.
Sure.
And then once we have that, we can chat about going forward, what we think, games that really had impact on it. Let's go with the NFC right now. The current four division winners are Philly, the one seed, San Francisco is the two seed, Detroit's the three seed, and Atlanta is the four seed. And then we have Dallas, Minnesota, and Seattle. So that is the seven pack that I have making the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, but we do have Green Bay at 5-6 lurking right there. And then we also have the Rams at 5-6 as well as New Orleans at 5-6. And hey, look, those New York Giants at 4-8.
And they're playing their way out of their number one pick. It makes me sad.
Yeah, that is the NFC picture. And then in the AFC, we've got Baltimore 1, KC 2, Jacksonville 3, Miami 4. And then we've got Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Indy, which is the playoff seeding that I have it right now, but I swapped out. I have Buffalo leapfrogging up to 7. But again, at 8, Houston lurking at 6-5, Denver lurking at 6-5, and then, of course, Buffalo is at 6-6. And behind them, two more 5-win teams in Cincy and Vegas, and then a handful of 4-win teams in Los Angeles, Tennessee, and the New York Jets. New England, not mathematically eliminated yet.
Good to know.
First glance, first snapshot of these playoff pictures, first thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the situation at the top, I think, are pretty well, I don't want to say established because there's still a lot of football to be played. But, I mean, we see there are more than I can recall in my recent memory, especially in the AFC, of like having those 8-3 teams. 9-3? I can't.
Yeah, Baltimore's 9-3, and then you've got KC, Jacksonville, and Miami all at 8-3.
Okay, so I mean, like that's top heavy, right? Like I don't usually still at this point we still have like that like undefeated team or the team that has one loss or whatever, but like there's like a logjam there, which I think is really exciting.
I should also say it's top heavy, but there is not a single team in the NFL that has clinched yet.
Yeah.
Which I think, I don't know.
Which is exciting.
I think that's rare. I would like to look at data on this and see if there is any of it. But this is the last week for bye weeks. After week 13, there are no more bye weeks. We play 3-4 straight weeks of football with everybody playing. So we're in the nitty-gritty here. I feel like normally there's at least one team that's running away with the division. And right now the best record in the NFL is 10-1 Philly, and they haven't clinched yet because Dallas is only 2 games behind them, and they get to play them again. So
it's good stuff.
So nothing has been clinched yet. Now Philly may have clinched a playoff spot, right? Because if they lost out and were 10-7, I feel like maybe there's a tiebreaker that happens that they don't make it or some reason. But regardless, nobody has actually clinched the spot yet. Which is
I believe Philly did clinch.
I was going to say, they have to have clinched a spot, I would assume. But they have not clinched their division.
But there were a lot of games in Week 12 that, I mean, we talk about Seattle Seahawks. They went down to division rival 49ers. We talk about the Cleveland Browns that are in the playoffs right now, losing to the Broncos that are trying to get in.
That was a really surprising one for me. What was your take on that? And again, like, we didn't get to watch any of these games super closely because we were on the road with the show. But what was your big takeaway from that? Because I think you were watching it while I was watching the Buffalo on our ride home.
I actually watched Kansas City more than I watched the Browns-Broncos game. I picked Cleveland to win, but I'm not shocked, especially with knowing that DTR got knocked out of the game. I feel like that's obviously a difficult situation for any, when you have your backup, they get knocked out, so you bring in the backups back up, and I get that PJ Walker has started before and everything, but it's just a different feel when you're not the guy in practice all week, and then just to be rushed in there to do these things against a Denver defense that since the first month of the season has just flipped their script. And I came on here talking about how Vance Joseph probably deserved to be fired, but he is absolutely put egg on my face because he has done a great job with that unit, and it is a scary unit right now. So I'm not surprised that Denver won, especially with them being at home. We had Cleveland injuries happen, obviously, with the quarterback position, which is the most important position in sports, but maybe not in Cleveland when Myles Garrett really is probably the most important player, and he gets a little banged up and isn't out there at 100% the entire game. I believe that was later on in the game, so it was a little bit out of hand. But, yeah, I just didn't expect it to be a 17-point win.
So, yes, here's the thing. I picked Cleveland as well because I thought there was no way that this offense would be able to do enough, right? And really, the offense didn't really do that much, right? Like, it was Denver's defense really forcing turnovers and getting in good positions.
That's what they're doing right now.
But I don't have up until this game, I still had Denver written off. I still was like, good for Sean Payton. He's coaching them in. There's no way they get in, right? I don't know if you noticed, I still don't have them getting in.
Sure.
But, like, their slate going forward is so fascinating to me because, so they just beat, Cleveland. Next week, they have to go to Houston. Huge game. In Pals picks, I think.
It is.
And then they have to go to the Chargers, who, yes, they just lost, who are at 4-7 now, definitely fighting for their lives. Then they have to go to Detroit. So this is 3 straight road games against really tough teams to beat. I don't know that they win. I mean, do they go 1-2 in that stretch? Do they go, like, if they go 2-1 in that stretch, they're absolutely making the playoffs. That's what I would say.
The thing about it is I don't think we can look at Denver right now and be like, they don't got that. Yeah. We've been doing that for a month. Yeah. I think in September, the NFL collectively was like, Denver, ugh. And now I don't think it is that anymore. I think 4 weeks ago I would have been like, Houston, Denver, eh. And now this is like, oh, I want to watch this.
Well, yeah, this is a playoff game because they're fighting for the same spot. Denver's not going to win the division. After the Houston loss to Jacksonville, going to be really hard for them to win their division as well. So this is literally a playoff game.
I think it's exciting.
But for them, it's so hard for me to believe in them because I haven't seen that offensive performance, right? Like, their defense is just playing lights out right now. They really, really
are.
They're
just finding the ways.
But we have not seen, and I think I will say this, I have seen some plays from Russ that glimpse vintage Russ.
A little bit.
Of moving around.
Sure.
I think about the throw against Buffalo where he was spinning around, retreating, and throw it and found him in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown, right?
Yeah.
There are flashes of that. But there's not enough for me to be like, this team can go score with anybody. But I guess if their defense keeps playing this way, they don't need to do that. But it's so hard to do that. They've done this for 5 straight games now. 6 straight games? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight games now that they have won. It's just hard to sustain that kind of football, but you know, we'll have to wait and see. We're going to learn a lot this Sunday from
here we go.
So,
what was it, a big game for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about Buffalo, but if you want to bring it up, we could talk about it.
I was asking what game you wanted to talk about.
I'm really interested in the Monday night game. Like, I want to know how we feel about Josh Dobbs, because the Josh Dobbs story has been really exciting. It's been a lot of fun to follow. He's got a great, first of all, great story. You are literally an astronaut playing in the NFL, and there's all the jokes about they show his parents and it's like they still wish that he was working with NASA and not playing football. And then he's got like the Creed videos he posts of his highlights. Like, he's just a fun guy to root for. And it comes crashing down with a 4-interception performance on Monday Night Football and a game that they really needed to win. Again, like, they're not out of it. I still have them sneaking in there, but they're also a team that's got a bunch of interesting games coming forward. They have to go, they're on bye. And then they go to Vegas, who also has a bye, so that's not an easy game in Vegas. And then they go to Cincinnati, who Cincinnati doesn't have Joe Burrow, but Jake Browning hasn't looked terrible, right?
Not
and
terrible.
Going to Cincinnati, never easy. And then they have two games against Detroit and one more against the Packers, who are now suddenly surging, right? So this is not an easy slate to finish it, right? You would hope that they get wins against Vegas, Cincinnati, and Green Bay, and then, you know, maybe split the games against Detroit, right? Or win one of them at home, right? But this was a game that you needed to win at home on Monday Night Football, and you didn't. And so that's huge for me.
It is huge. It definitely was a disappointing and heartbreaking loss for Vikings fans. I don't know how to feel about Josh Dobbs. I think we can't overreact to the 4-turnover game, which obviously that's a backbreaker. And that really, really hurt in a game when the team lining up against you doesn't score an offensive touchdown. I understand that. But we're talking about, and as fun as the story is, and I also really like him. I like him as a player. I don't know him as a person, but I'll say as a person, he just seems like a good person, right? He's not, you know, we're not reading articles about how he's getting in trouble or anything along those lines. But this is a career journeyman backup. That's what he is. This isn't a top quarterback. This wasn't a first round pick guy that we're like, yeah, like, this shouldn't happen. This is going to happen sometimes. He was brought in to stabilize, and he has. I mean, the Vikings have still been in a very good position. I get that they've lost their last two games, right? Was Denver 2 weeks ago, or was there one in between? I can't remember.
No, they lost to Denver week 11, and then they lost to Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously they lost straight. They lost in the last minute against Denver. Yeah, and
they
won
1, 2, 3. They won 5 straight, right? And then they have now lost 2 straight after.
So it
that,
was so they're 2-2 with Dobbs. Is that correct?
Yes, they beat the Falcons when he came in. Then they beat the Saints, and now they've lost.
Yeah,
to
so
the Broncos,
this is, I think, what you need to expect. I understand that you don't want to have a 4-interception game. That's really difficult. But this is a team, when you lost Kirk Cousins, you're like, oh, well, let's lay down. That's not what they're doing. They're 500 since he's gotten there. And sure, in a game where Chicago scored 12, you're like, we need to win that, of course. But I don't know. I understand that Kevin O'Connell is frustrated right now, and he's like, we're not going to commit to a quarterback after the bye week and whatnot. But I think we can't be like, Josh Dobbs, you're done.
Yeah, and the tough thing for me is that it was against Chicago, because Chicago's a 30th ranked defense in the NFL. Now I'm looking at their season here, and it is a team that has kind of turned the corner defensively a little bit. So since week 5, only two teams have scored over 20 points against them. The Saints did it. And then three teams. Yeah, so I guess they're, you know, three teams. But the Saints did it, the Chargers did it, and then the Lions did it 2 weeks ago. But I'm looking at only allowed 19 points, 12 points, 19 points, 13 points, 10 points. Right, so they've kind of turned around a little bit, especially once they added Montez Sweat, right? That really helped their pass.
It really has.
But I just, yeah, I mean, like, the bye week comes at a good time, right? The bye week comes, you get a 2-game skid, you get all these interceptions, you finally get another a time to step back with Josh Dobbs and be like, okay, you're our guy. Let's, like, figure out the things that work better for you, because they were on a tear, right? So let's do more of that and less of what we did last night. But I just, it's a story that everybody loves rooting for, and I hate when – I don't even want to use the term Cinderella story, but I hate when these really heartwarming stories don't have good endings, right? Like, this was super fun for a couple of weeks. I want it to keep being fun, right? And for it to keep being fun, they have to keep winning and they have to make the playoffs. I don't want it to be a – oh, remember that, like, week stretch when – Josh Dobbs was really good, and then he just wasn't anymore.
It's just difficult. I'm not taking anything away from Chicago. They did play lights out on defense. But I think in terms of Minnesota, this is a team that really does need Justin Jefferson back. Because we've seen, and Jordan Addison, yes, has been great. Obviously, the deep bomb to him, that was the play where I looked at Dobbs. I was like, man, like you needed that one. But this was an offense that I just felt like there was no separation. There was separation on one play, the touchdown to TJ Hawkins. That was the only time, and he's been Dobbs' main weapon, right? It's the only time that he had somebody not on his hip. Like, Chicago was able to take advantage, and they jumped some things. One was a tip ball that TJ Edwards came down with. It was just, I think they need, because whatever scheme they were running last night, it has not been the same that it was, or it wasn't as effective as it had been the last month of having these guys open. And I think Justin Jefferson coming back, which he's supposed to after the bye week.
Yeah, he was close. Reportedly, he was close this past week. And
I think he's been getting ready the last 2 weeks, and they were like, yeah, Let's just get through this bye week. It obviously stinks that they lost the two games prior to it, but I think that'll help a lot.
Okay, two things before we move on to Pal's picks.
Yeah.
Quick little fun Chicago conversation. So Chicago just beat them. They're on bye week. Then they host Detroit on a bye, and then they go to Cleveland. Then they host the Cardinals and the Falcons, and then they go on the road for the Packers. Do the Bears go on a little run?
What's your definition of a little run?
So no. Okay.
I think they'll win a couple games.
Nah, it's fine. So my last thing I wanted to do is, do we want to have a quick conversation about Thanksgiving Day slate of games? What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was a fun Packers game. I didn't think they would win that game, but it was great to see all that fight that they had. It was the first time. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Was it the last time we were on air? I was talking about how LaFleur, I think, was coaching scared. And, you know, I think that absolutely was not the case against Detroit.
You see the reports about how, like, the first play was the big bomb to Watson, and that he called him that before, and he was like, hey, I don't know if we run that play. And Love was like, no, I want to run that play. And like, we're doing it. And, you know, like, I love that. But Green Bay going forward, again, I'm the one who picked him on Pal's Picks. We weren't on air.
You did.
But I did pick Green Bay. Green Bay looked like the team that I thought they were going to be coming out of the gate. That's who I thought they were going to be. So the question is, are they that going forward, or was this just a blip? Because they could make the playoffs still. They're 5-6. This is not crazy. So what happens is they just beat Detroit. They host the Kansas City Chiefs this week.
Hot dog, Sunday Night Football.
Huge game.
Yeah.
But then they do. Then they go Giants, Buccaneers, Panthers, three games that you would assume Green Bay would win.
They can.
And then they have to go on the road for Vikings and then host Chicago, right? So the two scariest games are obviously this Sunday night and then week 17 against Minnesota, right? They finish with 9 or 10 wins if they only lose one or two of those games, right? So this is a path.
There definitely is a path. It's not impossible for the Packers to make the playoffs by any stretch, in my opinion. It really it depends. I mean, they went into Thanksgiving down some important pieces, in my opinion. So if they come back and the defense continues to be in this trend, because I don't think the Packers' offense will always be as hot as they were against Detroit, I'm happy with the upward trajectory. I don't know if you've seen, but Love technically started a game last year or 2 years ago when he went in for when Rodgers had COVID. But the first, if you take that game out, like this 11-game stretch versus Rodgers, they're like nearly identical.
Yes, I did. Yes, I have seen this. It's almost
identical. It's pretty weird.
It's like 5-7, 5-7 or something
it's
like
pretty,
that.
It's pretty weird.
Which is awesome.
I definitely think there's an opportunity because similar to what you said, I didn't pick them to beat Detroit, but this was the first game I think probably since week one that I was like, yeah, like this is what I expected. Like I expected the defense to be improved and I expect the quarterback to just get the job done. That's what I think. That's what I thought Green Bay needed to just make. I think I had them in the seven.
Yeah. But again, still, I loved it more than Love played probably his best
game. Oh, absolutely. Like, he played
outside of like just, you know, not doing just what he needed to do. But yes, I think the formula you just said is a formula that can get them to the playoffs. But if Love plays like that every week, they're absolutely going to go on a run here and sneak in. So it should be fun. It should be fun going forward. The Dallas game was interesting for a brief moment.
It was closer at the half than it would have been Kane.
And then all of a sudden Dallas broke free. So
I was mostly impressed because Dallas got the ball back with like a minute and like some change, like a minute and 5 seconds before the half. And they drove it, I think, without even using a timeout.
Yeah,
to score another touchdown. That was huge. Yeah, and that was awesome.
Dak's been on a tear. I think nobody's talking about them right now because they're beating all these teams that aren't that great, right? Washington's the best team they've beaten in a month, right? So nobody's talking about them right now. But if Dak, going forward, wins one or two of these big games coming up, he's going to catapult right into the MVP conversation. Because the reason why Jalen Hurts is there right now and not Dak is because the – Philly is finding a way to beat these really good teams.
Sure.
And Dallas, unfortunately, due to their schedule, hasn't been doing that, right?
Sure.
So if they find a way to win a couple of these games and they have the head-to-head matchup, he has the numbers right now that are better than Jalen Hurts. He beats Jalen Hurts on Sunday Night Football. He will leapfrog him in that conversation. So
I'm
feeling good about that pick right now.
We have an exciting end of the year coming up here.
Yeah, I mean, we always find a way to make it exciting, but there are some really huge things happening. So, all right, let's get into
Pals Picks.
Oh, yeah. So I know I got Green Bay, but I did not get Buffalo. Yeah, I mean, do you want to really quickly say the three games because we did it off air?
Yeah. So I gave you the Packers at the Lions, the Browns at the Broncos, and the Bills at the Eagles.
Oh, wow. So I went 1-2.
You went 1-2 last week.
So you're catching up?
Not really.
Oh, did you have a bad week?
No, I went 2-1.
Okay, caught one game.
Yeah. I for the first time this year, this is my victory here, ready? For the first time this year, I'm at 500. I am 18-18 right now.
I'm proud of you.
You are 24-12.
So what you really need is a week where you do 3-0 and I do 0-3.
That would be pretty
big. That's the week that you need to have.
That'd be pretty big.
And I'm telling you, it might happen this week. I don't feel great about any of these games.
All right. And just so I can, for everybody to know, you gave me the Steelers at the Bengals, the Jags at the Texans, and the Bucks at the Colts. I went 2-1 in that stretch. All right. So I got to give you the games first this week. The first game I gave you was, we talked about it a little bit, the Broncos traveling to take on the Texans.
Okay, so I think we just talked about this is a playoff game, right? This is a pivotal moment for both of these football teams, right? And this is such a hard game to pick, right? Because CJ Stroud just continues to show not only, so here's one, it's one thing to be the guy who's never thrown an interception for a certain stretch to start the year, right? It's another thing to bounce back from your first couple. It's another thing to have last week he won a game with 3 interceptions, right? And this week he struggled again, but he still led the team and kept like bringing them back in moments where it didn't look like they were going to make it back.
It was a really fun game.
He's just such, not only is he great, he's a resilient player so early in his career. So CJ Stroud is going to be just incredible if he continues to improve from the level he's already at.
I'm pretty excited for Stroud versus Lawrence for a long time.
Yeah, and that's going to be there in that division for quite some time. But that being said, it comes down to, do I think that the Denver defense can continue what they're doing against this quarterback, right, versus Dorian Thompson-Robinson / PJ Walker, right? But then you also think that they quashed Mahomes a bit, and while Allen had a decent game against them, they still kind of quashed Allen as well. So the question is, do they get to the rookie or not? And it comes down to a coin toss for me, and I always say coin toss goes to the home team.
Sure.
So I'm going to pick the Texans.
I highlighted that like 10 minutes ago in your speech.
Yeah, but are you doing that because you knew I was going to say coin toss go with the home team? Yeah. It's just I don't feel good about it, right? I have to start Russell Wilson in a fantasy league because I have Allen and Lamar in a lot of leagues, and I have to get a guy to start. So I'm picking up Russ because Houston gives up decent amount in the passing game. So, like, I think it'll be a really good game. I got to flip the coin and go with the home team. I bet you I haven't listened to the over-unders pod of the Bill Simmons podcast, But I would have to assume it's like a 1.5 point favorite is the Texans. It can't be that close. It can't be that big.
My guess would be it's 3.
Like 3 points? Okay. Yeah. I mean, it might be. But so, yes, I'll go with the home team.
All right. There we go. Take in Stroud at home. How about the second game? The big NFC showdown right now. The 49ers traveling to take on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, so this one is... I forgot this game was this week. In my head, I was like, the biggest matchup all week he already gave me, and then there's also this one. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners. I think the reason why I'm going with the Niners is because they, and again, people say that the rematches in the regular season don't really matter, but they do in terms of like for morale, right, and just for belief. I think the Niners are desperate to be like, what happened in the title game is only because our quarterback went out.
Yeah.
We're a better team than you. We're going to beat you.
All right.
I still think Philly's a great team. I don't think they're a fake team. I don't think there's a lot of people saying that they're like the Vikings last year. I think it's totally different. But I understand these teams that only win close in games that like multiple times it looks like they should lose. A lot of people count that against them. I think that says a lot about the metal and what they're made of. I do think that San Fran wins this one. Now, I think that they're like, we're just as good, if not better than you, and we would have won that title game if our quarterback didn't get knocked out.
Sure, sure. And then the last game I gave you is those Cleveland Browns taking on the LA Rams.
Rams are hosting it, right?
They are. They are the home team.
So I really want to pick the Rams because I like what I've seen about them. Kyren Williams had a historic day. 200 scrimmage yards, 4 touchdowns. Like he was in. So wait, no, 4 touchdowns. It was 2 touchdowns, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But regardless, insane game from Kyren Williams and his return.
Yeah. It's been a while since I feel like I've whiffed that badly on a player.
Well, because we were week one, we were talking about like, should we put in a lot of money for Kyren Williams? And I don't think we ended up putting in a bid at all because we didn't
know at that time.
We didn't know at that time that it was pretty bad. So yeah, I mean, I want to be like, oh wow, they're gonna ride high. I obviously have them finishing close to the playoffs, but I think Cleveland wins this one. I haven't seen an update on DTR.
You're going with Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm going with Cleveland on the road. I haven't seen an update on DTR, but my opinion on this game is that Matthew Stafford is not Matty Wheels anymore. He does not have that mobility outside of the pocket. This Cleveland pass rush, Cleveland defense is going to make his day a living hell. And I think that in the end is what's going to do in the Rams is they're just not going to be able to handle the rush. The Russ was able to move around on his touchdown pass. There was move around. He had a rush touchdown, I believe, as well. His mobility really saved, I think, the Denver offense in a lot of ways. I don't think Stafford's going to be able to do that.
So you're not overly concerned right now about Garrett being iffy as well?
So I'm concerned about that, but the reason why the Cleveland Browns pass rush is as good as it is because they're so deep. They've got people all across the board. Yes, it absolutely suffers from a player that I think should be in the MVP conversation. If he were to miss, we still don't even know if he would.
Right.
Yep. But there's so many good players on that defense. They'll still be able to generate a pass rush.
Okay. So you went with the Texans at home and then the road teams, the 49ers over the Eagles and the Browns over the Rams. Very good. Very good.
0-3 coming up for that, for sure. and then I went with the Steelers hosting the Cardinals. So the Steelers coming off a win against the Bengals, in which their offense finally got 400 total yards of offense, but only scored 10 points, 13 points.
I think it was 13.
What do you think?
Was it 13?
I don't know. But all I know is I think the Cardinals' offense is better than the Bengals at this point.
They scored 16, everybody. Let's put some
crazy
respect on those Steelers. Yeah, I'm going to go with the home team here. I think being at home is important. I do think there's a little bit of fluff right now with the 400 yards. I mean, obviously, you can't take that away. It's the first time they've done it in like 3 years, I think.
It's like, I think it's almost 50 games. It's like a really crazy stat.
obviously, really great that they did it. I don't think that much really changed with the offense, to be honest. I think they just did what they do better. It was more effective. They were running the football effectively. They weren't getting stuffed for 1 yard gain and 1.5 yard gains. Pat Freiermuth being back and be able to attack that seam down the middle was super important. The thing is, I just don't trust Arizona's defense where I do trust Pittsburgh's defense. I think it's great that Kyler's back. I think it's great what he's doing. I think they'll be able to rattle him a little bit. This game being in Pittsburgh makes me go Pittsburgh.
Super Bowl rematch of what I think is the greatest Super Bowl ever played. So
ever?
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh, Arizona was the perfect Super Bowl.
It was fun.
I think that it had every single element that makes a great game. It was back and forth. It had a huge defensive touchdown. It had the game-winning drive with an incredible, iconic catch by Santonio Holmes. It had Larry Fitzgerald and Kurt Warner, like this duo that was thrown together late in their careers that were on this historic playoff run and like scored too soon. Like it's just every aspect of that game was perfect.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
All right. Second game is the Titans hosting the Colts. Huge game for Buffalo Bills fans because the Colts do need to lose this game if we want to sneak in.
Is that true? Like,
I mean, like all these AFC teams ahead of us have to start losing some AFC matchups.
Sure.
So this would be the first one. I'm rooting for Tennessee hard.
Okay, well, I got bad news for you. Dang then, it! I'm going with the Colts. Jonathan Taylor is back, in my opinion. I think the rust has been scrubbed off. I think they took the polish. It's on him right now. I think he performs pretty historically well against the Tennessee Titans. Now, I will say Derrick Henry also does pretty historically well against the Colts. But when it comes down to it, I get that the Colts have their backup in Gardner, but I think having the experience over the rookie starting against Tennessee's defense will be, because I really like Andy's defense. I do. I get that they released Leonard, which, I mean, that makes me really sad because he's a player I really, really like and
surprised
respect and love.
Surprised nobody signed him yet.
I know. Isn't that really weird? I was surprised that, I mean, I guess like waivers, don't you have to pick up their contract? Somebody, is that the reason why?
Yeah, so somebody did say that he has to clear waivers first if people don't want to pay what's remaining on his contract. So he probably, waivers run today, don't they, on Tuesdays?
I'm not positive.
So once waivers run, I think somebody will sign him, but if waivers have already run and he still hasn't been signed, that's weird. But
it does make me sad as a player that I really, really liked before injuries just really derailed a historic pace that he was on. But talking defenses. I like the Colts defense more than I like the Titans defense. I'm going with the Colts.
Do you think Shane Steichen's early success, especially without his quarterback? I mean, like, can we imagine what the Colts would be if Anthony Richardson were still healthy? Do you think that played into the Frank Reich choice too? Like, hey, look, you left and the Colts are still doing okay with their backup quarterback.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought about it. Maybe a little bit. I mean, like, obviously when I talked about Houston and everything, they don't, organizations and owners and whatever, don't focus on just one team. Be like, they're looking at the league as a whole, right? So I'm sure maybe it was a conversation, potentially. I'm sure it was brought up. But it was something I didn't think about. That's a really interesting point.
Last but not least, Sunday Night Football. The Green Bay Packers on your birthday.
On my birthday.
On your birthday, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, for folks who don't know Josh like I do, I want to say some iconic Green Bay victories on your birthday, including the last one, I believe, was the Rodgers to Rodgers Hail Mary against Detroit.
It was a very special moment.
It was a Thursday night game,
It was a Thursday night game.
So there's some magic with Green Bay on Josh Lapping's 30th birthday.
Was pretty special. It was pretty special. Now, I will say the thing about that game was they were getting absolutely crushed. They were getting absolutely crushed. I think it was my 22nd or 23rd birthday. 23rd, mathematically. I was like, Dad, let's just start drinking. I was like, it doesn't matter. So we started doing shots.
I'm just going to tell you, for those of you who don't know, it's pretty rare that Josh ever says that sentence. Let's just start drinking.
It was that bad. And to have that memory, it's a really special one between my dad and I. So will it take that kind of victory or that kind of moment to pull this off? I think it will if Green Bay is to do it. I feel more confident in the Chiefs, especially as they got a little more comfortable. I think the game that they had against Vegas being down and then proving that they can come back. I understand that it's Vegas and no one's being like, Vegas is a juggernaut or whatnot. But coming off the loss that they had against Philly where they were more or less let down by the receivers to be like, hey guys, like, we need to rely on this offense chugging now. And I get that Pacheco had a good game because he really did, but to be like, hey, we're gonna need to air this out to get back into it, I think that really instilled a lot of confidence. It was Rashee Rice's best game of as a professional. I hope that grows because I'm a really big fan of his. I'm going with the road team on this one. I think it will. I hope. I just hope that it's a fun game. If they can come down to it, it needs to be a Hail Mary. Yeah. Let's go. It'll happen on my birthday. If that's a situation, Green Bay will do it. But I don't know if I see that being the situation.
I decided not to be jaded towards Rashee Rice because I was such a Sky Moore guy. I'm just going to like Rashee Rice.
I'm also a Sky Moore guy, but I just,
yeah.
I
will say this. My schedule is clear on Sunday. I removed all D&D. I removed all everything. I said, no, I'm spending all of Sunday with my best friend on his birthday. I'm not leaving, not doing nothing. So we'll be there watching that game together.
You're in charge of Buffalo Chicken Dip.
I am. I got all the materials on the counter. Let's go. Ready to go. It'll be exciting.
The chicken's out on the counter too.
It's still
like 5 days away.
normally with Buffalo Chicken Dip, you get like the canned chicken, but I feel like it's so much better when you actually cook the chicken.
Yeah, chicken breast. And shred it.
Yeah. So that's what I do with mine. And I feel
you're
like
smart
it really,
guy.
I feel like it tastes a lot better that
it
way.
Does. Yeah, you're right. Okay. You're right.
I'm very excited, so it'll be great. All right, so you have the Steelers at home, the Colts on the road, and the Chiefs.
I just wanted to do the same pattern that you did.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same. All right, that was Pal's Picks, sponsored by birthdays, just in general.
Very good. Very good.
All right, let's get to some Fantasy Corner. The number one scoring team in the league this year. And we almost scored 200 points this week.
Yeah, we scored 198.82.
And I want to say we have four losses, right? We're 7-4.
Yes.
So I guarantee you at least three of those.
We're 7-5.
Oh, we're 7-5. At least three of those five losses were that team's highest scoring week they've ever had.
So
it's absolutely insane.
But I am obviously very happy with this performance. It's our best one since I think week three. But this has been the most excited I've been about this league in a while because I've done Josh Lapping GM things and have went in and looked. We still have the path to potentially, we could still technically get the one, but we have the path to a bye week, which is always my goal.
Yes, because we beat the person who's currently the number two seed this week.
Yes.
Right? So we have a tiebreaker over them now. Although it's a points overall thing. It's not a tiebreaker thing. But we also just scored so many points. We are the highest scoring team in the league, I think, right?
We are.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to win the tiebreaker with pretty much anybody as long as we don't completely bottom out, right? And you had mentioned the person who's number two in this league has bipocalypse this week where mostly all of their best players are on a bye week. So they might struggle this week. And if they were to lose and we were to win out, we would at least lock up the two. And then depending on what happened with the number one seed, we wouldn't be the number one. But that bye week in fantasy football is so important because fantasy, even though there is skill involved, it normally comes down to luck. And the more times you can remove variance from the equation, the better you are. So if we can remove an entire week where we don't have to worry about it, huge.
Yes. Obviously, the goal every year in fantasy, this is, I'm just speaking personally, and I know I'm going to be the outlier. The goal is obviously always to win first place, right? But my goal is always to earn a bye. Because like you said, there are variables, especially as you get later in the year. Remember, freaking Doug Peterson going to be like, you know what, Jalen Hurts, just sit down. It doesn't matter. Things are going to happen. Weird things are going to happen. So sometimes you're like, what the heck? My goal always is just to earn the bye to be like, I did a really good job managing this team. That's my goal. So I'm very excited that is a possibility with us.
Yes. I'm not going to say fantasy player of the week, but I'm going to say that I am Broncos country. Let's riding it this week with Russell Wilson. So if you are if you are a person who is a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen owner, I'm going to say ride with me, Broncos country, and pick up Russell Wilson and play him against Houston. Houston gives up the 25th most, or they're 25th against opposing fantasy quarterbacks, so they do give up fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Russ has been pretty good In terms of, like, he scores, he runs the ball a little bit. Sometimes he gets to the end zone with his legs, but he's thrown a handful of touchdowns as well. He's been pretty decent in the last couple of weeks. So I think that he's got a couple of plus matchups coming up, starting with Houston. So if you need a – I don't want to say fantasy player of the week because I don't think he's going to score 35 fantasy points. But I think that if you're one of those Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen owners, Josh Dobb owners, I don't know, Justin Fields owners, right? If you're one of those guys, your quarterback's on a bye, I would go with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, a player that I'm really – I really like a lot. I rode him in a lot of fantasy playoffs last year, and he got injured for the beginning of the year. He's a small 5'7", 175-pound wide receiver, Greg Dortch of the Arizona Cardinals. He and Kyler Murray have a great rapport.
And that's not a new thing. No, that, he had that beforehand as
they,
well.
That goes back to last year. Both of them got injured. Both of them just came back. And what happens? Greg Dortch has had 17 targets over the last 2 weeks. He's only brought in 9 of those, so around 50%. But I know sometimes it makes egg on my face, but I am a strong believer in targets are king for especially wide receivers, but receivers in fantasy football. They have a favorable schedule coming up, Pittsburgh. Then they have their bye week, so it's not going to be great. But then they have San Francisco, and then Chicago and Philadelphia. So some good matchups for wide receiver needy teams. If you're out there looking for somebody to play in a flex, Greg Dortch is a player I really like. Small, speedy guy, can take it from anywhere on the field.
Yeah, I think it's a great pickup. All right, I have got Friend's Fortune next on the rundown. I don't have cold reads. Did you have a cold read?
I have a cold read.
Okay, let's do it.
I have a cold read.
Because I also can do a cold
read.
It can
be a simple yes or no, or you can tell me what you think is going to happen. Will Frank Reich be a head coach again?
I think Frank Reich will be a head coach again, yes. I don't think it'll be the next year or maybe even the next two.
Okay.
I think that he's now the first coach in NFL history to be fired before the end of the year, 2 years in a row. It's never happened before, and Frank Reich just did it. I think he probably needs to just like take a step back and figure some things out, okay. Right? Maybe he takes an OC job. I don't think he will. I think he'll take a step back. Maybe he does media for a year or two like Sean Payton did, and then I think he will re-enter the cycle.
Okay.
I think Frank Reich's a good coach. I don't think that the way that things ended in Philly and this year are in indicative of his overall career. He's had a really good career. I think that he will eventually come back. I think he might miss a cycle or two, though.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm debating on what if I want to do it. I'm going to do it. Let's do it. Cold reads. I'm going to do a Rossi's ranking.
Okay. Here we go.
We haven't done it in a while. It's been about a month since we've done a Rossi's ranking. So should I start at 5 or should I go up to 1? I should start at 5, right?
You tell me, is this football teams or is this a silly thing?
Oh, it was going to be football teams, but I could do silly things.
Curious. I don't know what I'm ranking.
If I did silly things, I would want it to be you related. All right, here we go. Silly things. Top 5. Wait, no, I actually have this. This isn't off the cuff. We're going to do top 5 Josh Lapping performances.
Man, the flack that you've gotten at our job about this.
Oh, man. Is this on my top 10 list or do I have a separate category for you? I don't know. Well, I think I have a thing that says on my notes app that just says Josh Lapping, and it's just great. My rankings of your performances. Yes, it just says Josh. Okay, here we go. Adam's top 5 favorite performances from Josh Lapping. I have to flip some things around here.
Ooh.
Okay. Number 5 is Seymour. It was you recently played. This is your most recent performance in Little Shop of Horrors. It's a role that you've wanted to play your whole life.
Yeah.
And it's a role that I think you were born to play. And I think it was really awesome. It's also one of my favorite moments because you also said afterwards you loved it. But for those of you who don't know, Josh took this very seriously. It's a professional performance with the State Professional Theater of West Virginia. So you didn't eat like dairy for a month. And that's exaggerating, but you were like, you swore off all these things that you were worried would hurt your voice. And so you were like, if I crush this last performance, we're getting so much pizza. And I remember after Feed Me / Get It, you jumped up on the counter. It's my favorite song of the show. And you crushed it. I leaned over to Jenna, your now fiance, and was like, we're getting so much pizza tonight. So that's number 5. Number 4, I'm going Bert. Another one of your dream roles in Mary Poppins.
Okay.
Didn't get to do the proscenium walk. I'm really sorry.
Still flew.
You didn't get to do that, but you still flew. It was still very fun. It was cool to see, for those of you who aren't familiar with Josh's performances, he is not the best dancer in the world. And
that's kind.
And well, and here's the thing. It's become a joke for so long, but I genuinely like, you could see how much work you put in to that show and those in like Bert is a dancing role. He's in a lot of the dancing numbers, right? So it was cool to see you really work on something that has been a weakness for you your whole theater career. And it, to me, didn't feel like it was a weakness, that at least for that performance. It felt good. That's why it's in your top 10 or top 5. I do have a top 10. I can extend it if you want. But Rossi's Rankins is 5. Number 3 is Moritz in Spring Awakening. Jenna and I, this is one of our first true big bonding moments. For those of you who don't know, Josh's fiance Jenna has an MFA in directing. And so we like to go to shows and critique them because I'm also a director. And we had this huge conversation about how we thought the directing was terrible for the show because the director obviously loved Josh because the show obviously revolved around Josh's character. And so when he dies, spoiler alert, for those of you who don't Spring Awakening, the show really suffered. But you really shined in this. And I will say, like, I've seen you do a lot of different performances, wide ranging, right? I think your strength lives in intensity. When you're able to like really be intense about something, that doesn't mean like angry, right, or something, but like even when you're able to be like intensely genuine or intensely funny, like when you're able to like not have anything holding you back and just go for it, that's where you succeed.
Okay.
And so you doing I Don't Feel Sadness was like, you were in your bag for that, right? You just crushed it. So that's number 3. Number 2 is Delmont Williams. This is a play called Little, is it Miss Firecracker Pageant?
Yeah.
So you may not know this play. This character was one of the most endearing characters I've ever seen. I don't remember anything else from this show except for how endearing your character was. You did this fun Southern dialect. It was really sweet. You have some sort of relationship with the girl in the show, right? And you're very like kind to her and nurturing. It's like, it's very sweet. I don't remember the play that much, but again, it was like, it was a dinner theater. I came and saw it. Did I go and see it with somebody? I think it was with somebody.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you and Luke came.
Yeah, it was me. I remember it being so, it was so different than anything I've seen you do. It's like this wise Southern guy, but he was nice. And number 1 is Ben Chiclet for so many years from Psycho Beach Party. If you guys don't, it's Charles Lee. Is that his name?
Charles Bush.
He writes these roles for him to play women in drag. But Josh played this character, Chiclet, who's a 14-year-old girl. And she has multiple personality disorder. And so he played like 8 characters in the show. There's 3 main ones. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The most of them don't. There's a huge monologue. So he played Chiclet,
who's this cute little quirky 14-year-old. And then Anne Bowman, the dominatrix. And then who's the other main one?
There is one I actually can't remember right now.
Yeah. So those are the main two you hop between for most of it.
Yeah. Anne Bowman is definitely the main
Steve,
one.
And then there's Steve, who's a football guy. And you like fake throw a football to me once. So there's like all kinds of different characters that you played in the show. And it was just, I am a sucker. I'm a sucker for actors who can do multiple characters in the same show. And like, I know how hard it is to do that. And so to see somebody nail it is that. So impromptu Rossi's Rankings for Josh's birthday, my top 5 favorite performances from Josh Lapp.
That was pretty fun. I appreciate that.
I will say, so it used to be Andrews from Titanic was in my top 5, but Seymour bumped him out.
That's fair.
So honorable mention to Andrews.
That was fun.
I wanted to do football. That's fine. That was all we needed to do.
That was great. That was good.
All right, so we got Friends Fortune. You go first this time. I'm going to hop out because I also need to check a number before I do mine. So,
oh, very good.
I'll be right back.
All right, everybody. I'm going to go with the last 2 games of this week 13 slate. I'm going to go with the Sunday night football game and the Monday night football game. We have 4 quarterbacks: Jordan Love, Pat Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, and Jake Browning. 3 of those players were first round picks. Jake Browning, not so much, but all of them are going to throw for at least 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in their respective games. Going to have some fun primetime games. I wasn't done yet.
Well, you're done now. Do you like how it's warmer in here? I turned the heat on because I knew you were going to be here.
I appreciate that.
Well, also because my cat, but you know. All right, and here we go. So I said, Broncos country, let's ride. I'm saying, so Russell Wilson hasn't thrown 300 yards since week three against Miami. It's 223, 196, 95, 194, 114, 193, 259, and 134. So he's only thrown for 200 yards twice since week three. He's going to go for 300-plus and 2-plus touchdowns against the Houston Texans this week. Broncos country, let's ride. You know, I've been best friends with Josh for a very long time. I'm very excited for his 30th birthday. And for his birthday, I got... Oh, wait, hold on. Josh is back. Can't say that. We were having this conversation this week about how hard I think it is to get you gifts.
I think Jenna says that too. I think I'm so easy.
Well, no, so here's the thing. It's not about like... I don't think anything we got you, you'd be like, this sucks, right? But it's hard to nail it. And like, you'd be like, this is an awesome gift, right? That's how I feel. I don't think it's very hard to get you a couple things that you'll like, right? Because we know you. But like, I think that it's hard to get you a gift. Like, you said me, I'd be excited if Buffalo draft a rock, right? If somebody gets me anything, I'm so excited about it that you thought of me, right? But for you, I always get so nervous that I'm going to get you something that you're just going to be like, thanks, buddy, and like never use or think about it again, you know? So it requires some thought, you know?
Do you feel good about it this year?
I
have had 17 million conversations about how Jenna's terrified.
Well, one of the things that I spent money on 1.5 things, and the thing I spent money on still hasn't arrived. Which is classic me. So I'm a little nervous that that won't be here by Sunday, but that's okay. I can give it to you anytime during the month once it comes in. The thing that I half paid for is mostly homemade. I think you're going to really like it. I think it's a really cool. I spent a lot of time like figuring out how it would work. So I think you're going to really like that, but you never know.
I'm right? sure it'll be great.
I think the best gifts are the ones that prove that you thought about your friend, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's super nice to buy somebody a PlayStation, right? That'd be super fun. One, I don't have the money to do that for you. I did think about it. I don't have the money for that. Jenna and I did talk about going half and half in on it, but it's just so much money.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys didn't do that.
That's very nice in every avenue, but I think that the best gifts are the ones that prove that, like, you know this person, you love this person, you know what they will think is cool, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think it'll be fun. It'll be a nice day. Jenna's going to make a couple different things. I'm going to have buffalo chicken dip. I've got Tostitos. And I don't remember if you like pita bread to dip it in. But like, I normally heat up
I'm all about just a good old classic chip. Yeah, love tortilla chips. I love like when your lips like get like that kind of wrinkly from the salty.
Because you have so much
from
the salt. Yeah.
I love it.
Do you prefer scoops or not?
Think that
you don't care either way.
No.
Okay. There are some people who are – I just got to –
feel really, like it's just a shape.
I got really scared for a moment that you didn't like scoops. Well, see, here's the thing. You can't say that because we all agree that macaroni and cheese is better with shapes, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So
– you're right. Can't argue against, against that.
Anyway, anything else? Any tidbits. I do have a couple tidbits. Sorry. How many do you want me to give you? Two?
Yep.
All right. So the Buffalo Bills – I now own the record. I mean, they're both about Buffalo. Let's be serious. Consecutive regular season games without losing by 2-plus scores. Buffalo has the record. Can you guess how many consecutive games regular season that they have not lost? That every time they've lost a game, it's been less than 2 scores.
I think it is 11.
35.
Wow.
It's been 35 straight regular season games. Buffalo, when they lose, do not get blown out. So I don't know if that's like a pro Sean McDermott comment or a bad Sean McDermott comment.
Probably a little both.
Yeah, right. Because you never lose big, but you also like there are so many of these close games that you don't win, right?
That's impressive.
So I don't know what that is. The second place is the Minnesota Vikings. So they're 13 straight. Wow. So we're 22 more That's games insane. From the second team.
That's insane.
What's another one? Here we go. The Buffalo Bills are now the 40th team since the 1970 NFL merger, so this is 50-plus years now, to have 500 yards, 10 third-down conversions, and a positive turnover margin in a game. They're the first team to ever lose in that scenario.
I saw that one.
39-0 heading into Philadelphia's game, and we lost. It's just,
it was an intense game.
It's insane. It's insane how many of these games we've lost this year. So it's just, I mean... Somebody did say they were like, if Buffalo misses the playoffs and we get this awful Pittsburgh Steelers offense, we riot.
Ah, poor Pittsburgh.
I won't riot. I like defense, so it'll be fun for me. But anyway, thanks for listening to the show, guys. Hopefully you had a nice Thanksgiving. Josh will be 30 years old next time we record, so he'll be an old man, the elder statesman of the show for a couple weeks. We head into the holiday season. Enjoy, folks. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is just Simultaneous Catch. Run your pool. Am I still in the lead? Let's do this really quick. Sorry. Well, this lasted a couple minutes of this episode has been such a you know what show. Leaderboard. I am no longer in the lead. I am in fourth place.
Yeah, but that has to be like a one game or two games.
It's two games. So my friend I play D&D with, Jenny.
Jenny.
Is in the lead. Tied for second place are Jenny. My cousin Matt and his father, my uncle Jim. I believe that's who that is. It just says Brownie Elf, so I'm assuming that's him. and then I'm in a four or five way tie for fourth place with 119.
Let's go.
I went 9-7. Me and our Dallas correspondent were tied for the worst week of the league last week at 9-7. So the favorites this week were 13-3.
Wow.
Yeah, just like the overall betting favorites, it was 13-3 this week. So the three upsets, I believe, were Chicago, Green Bay, and the Rams. No, the Rams weren't favored. The Rams were at home?
I don't know.
If they were at home, they were favored. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. Enjoy week 13. God bless.